Go to the book of John. Honey, if you bring up my PowerPoint, please. Glory to God. I'm still working on this. Looks like this PowerPoint is going to last a year. But I can't exhaust it in a year, nor probably in 2 or 3 years. But I do know this, that God is alive and well in His universe. Not only alive and well, He's bringing forth new life every very, you know, we think of moments and minutes and micro minutes and stuff like that. But with Him, it's an eternal situation, so that He can do nothing but create life. And then that life comes into an order where it can either become eternal or not. And we've been so privileged to have the intelligence to comprehend that and then to begin to experience it through obeying His Word. In the beginning was what? Was the Word, and the Word was what? God. And what did He do? Dwelt among us. Hallelujah. And so, honey, do you have it? Glory to God. Righteousness. Sons of righteousness arise. Hallelujah. Well, while she's looking for it, let's open our Bibles up to John 5. Because that's where we're going to go. And in the fifth chapter of the book of John, you remember that Jesus came to came to the pools where, even in the Old Testament, and even before Jesus demonstrated that man could speak and God would heal, that His mercy was still towards His people, in that He would come and trouble the waters at a certain time, at a particular place. And in the midst of that, if you had an infirmity of sorts, a sickness, a disease, something that was incurable, that if you could get into the water while it was being troubled, you'd be healed. And actually, He said He sent an angel to do that. Go to my last slide, honey, please. And so, what was really cool about this is that Jesus was there at that time. And He saw this man in this affliction for 38 years. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being crippled for 38 years? Never losing hope? My goodness. Keep going to the only place that wouldn't just heal you or fix you up. You know. Are you listening to me? Too many people just want to be fixed up. They just want their need met. But He came that He might have full restoration. Never lost hope. Did you ever think of that? Did you ever just put yourself in the characters of people and try and just logically, with your own intelligence, come to where they are? Because you need to do that in the Bible if you want to understand it. Now, you can go on somebody else's understanding, and it will only be as good to you as how much you will apply it and believe it. For you. And so we're going to look at this in John a little bit. So that's the first part of John. And then, you know, we need to go up a little bit, and I'm going to read a little bit. If you go to John 5, please, Luann, and we're going to look at this a little bit. And we'll go to John 5 and actually drop down to see, I don't want to take the whole thing up. Go to about 14. John 5 and 14. And so what happened was that the Lord, you know, healed this man. And then he went to the church where he wanted to glorify God, because it was in the place in which God had appointed for healing to take place. But you see, it didn't take place the same as it did any other time. Instead, it was through a man. Now listen to this. And his response to that man's words. And afterwards, Jesus, finding him in the temple, and said unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee." And so, you see, God never leaves you without resolve. He never leaves you without definition that you can take and actually now possess this with confidence. And in order to do so, you can't enter in to where you were before. Next one. And the men departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Now there was a law pertaining to the Sabbath day in the law, that you were to keep it holy, and you were to be, and you were to reverence the day of the Lord. And so, because this was done on the Sabbath, day of rest, they had legal evidence, they had legal material in the Word, come on, to make accusation. And we want to be careful that in His grace, in giving us our understanding, our knowledge, our abilities, that we don't think that we now become judge. Be careful. Be the grace giver and not the judger, lest that come upon you. And so this is what they were doing. Give me the next one. Are you there? Okay. Therefore, what? Okay, go to 17. I'm sorry. Sorry, keep me straight. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Okay. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making him equal with God. Just stop there for a second. They all had legitimate evidence, did they not? God was opening up something totally new to not just his people, but to us as we understand it. That as Jesus lives inside of us, we can speak things into being, not because we want them, not for our own purpose, but for the Father's purpose. We can speak things into being. You can actually change circumstances around you. Wouldn't you like that? In the days that are ahead, as this age keeps getting more violent and more self-protective, with everybody buying guns and shooting one another, you better have something more powerful than a gun. If you think that any one of those people driving up and down 96 had the privilege to pull in their own weapon to protect themselves, you're wrong. Absolutely. But God protected them. I believe that. He may not have intended to hurt anybody. But whether he intended to or not, it was going to happen. And so if you have the Lord in you, in a personal way where you say, where you can talk to him and he talks back to you. And how you know he talks back to you is some things happen when you pray. Not everything, because you're learning how to pray. Not everything that you say to God will you see your resolve. But if you really listening, you'll hear him speak in a more perfect way, and he'll turn you about. And your hearing will become greater and more sensitive, and your ability to hear increases tremendously. And your faith now to speak as a son increases. So it's important that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ on whatever level you're on with God. And that you are hearing what he has to say to you right now. Because we're always in need in one way or another. But he is the one who will give you a blessing that lasts forever. Lots of stuff we get, we just want. We get it, then we throw it out. And one of the things is technology. Now, these things right here. I'm not against it, believe me. But I'm against it if it owns you. If that's your knowledge, if that's your brain, you better get back in. Better get your head back on your shoulders, because you have something to do with this thought pattern. You, for instance, good example. We're walking again. This young lady about Karen's age. She's cutting a tree now, Denise, with a chainsaw. And I seen it weaving, and I could tell how she was cutting it, that she didn't know really what she was doing. So I said, I think you need a little help. No, I don't need no help. I said, I think you need a little help. Well, I don't want you to get hurt. I said, don't worry about me. I said, but you need some help doing this. Now, she went on her internet and followed instructions. But those instructions weren't in her situation. Come on. I'm all for that. I'm all for knowledge, for you collecting knowledge. But bring it to where you are. And so, here she had this wedge. And she'd cut it, and the weight was going the wrong way, so they said, put the wedge in there and it'll wedge it over. Well, it will if you don't have much weight. And here she didn't know it, but she had almost cut completely off. That tree could have went in any direction. At all. A good gust of wind or anything. I said, well, we need a rope. So we threw a rope up and we put a rope in the tree. So I taught her son, which was probably Kenzie's age, how to tie a bowline. I tied it a few times, and then I said, now come on, son. I want to see you tie it. Because I knew that girl wasn't done. I just know these things. So I made sure that he tied the bowline so he could tie it. And so we tied it, and we pulled it right down. It came right down. Really nice. She said, well, I want to take the other one down. And so Gail and I went for a walk. I said, you probably should tie another rope up in that tree. When we come back, they did. And they cut it down. And this time, and the reason I'm saying this is, your knowledge has to be relative to your circumstances, to where you live, to who you are, to the language you speak. And as it, and God will help you. He will instruct you. He will show you. You may have all the proper tools, but you need to know how to put them in to that particular situation. When God worked this way for you this time, and then He didn't work this way for you another time. Now I guarantee you that man, whatever it was, he didn't go back to whatever it was. You say, what was it, Danny? Who can tell me what it was? Why would he say that? Jesus, who committed the sin? No one. What was it for? To the glory of God. What was he going? What would he have a tendency to go back to? Being a cripple. Being a crippled. That's all. That's all. Are you liking this? Hallelujah. He's going to jump around and stay full of life. Hallelujah. Telling people about Jesus healing him. Glory to God. Did I read this one? Okay, go to the next one. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now this is a good revelation, you see. He's telling us that he's being a good son to a father. And that he's doing what the Father said. Now, who's our Father? Jesus is our Father. But guess who else is the Father? He's the Son of the Father. He's the expressed image of the Father. And he's showing us, now listen to this, as a man, the Father's nature. Something that has the goods to meet and supply every need. It's always been the Father's responsibility to supply for Mama and the kids. That wind will fly real good weather today. Duffy, yeah, it is. These kids don't need what they got. They don't need $300,000 houses and two $50,000 cars in the garage. Nobody said amen. You're talking to somebody that knows. None of that will save them. None of that will save them. But the kids need mom and daddy. Kids need mom at home. You know who's the instructor of the home? It's mama. She's special. She's got all that God had created her to be. All the specialness about it. To bring forth that brilliancy of who she is and the giftings and the blessings that never stop. Glory to God. And you have to forgive me if I'm a little bit old-fashioned, but I have a grandma. I can remember my grandmas. Oh, they didn't give me a lot of stuff, say, that I didn't look for. That wasn't what grandma was for. Man, I remember when she baked them pies. Oh, my goodness. I never eat nothing like it in my life. Come on. And the love she showed. And when I was sick, she'd run over and put my hands on the radio when Oral Roberts was there. This radio was big. It was tall and had a cabinet to it. And this is before your guys' time. I'm sorry. Before television and everything. I mean, for crying out loud, we didn't even have a speaker on the phone. The speaker was the horn that you listened to and the one you spoke to. And there wasn't one on the party line. You go in, and whoever was in the neighborhood was on the party line. And so you got to listen in to people. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what? There was no fear of us going out and playing in the woods and playing in the field, playing by the, was there, honey? And she was just a snot-nosed kid, shouldn't have been by the river like she was, but she was. We said, we don't think so, but she survived. I'm telling you, we got to love one another. We got to let this Jesus, this Christ-like nature, not put us into some elite situation, separate ourselves from someone else. It's going bad already. But to take and love all the people around us, do the best we can for them, and know this, that this Jesus that died for our sins has come as we've asked Him in our heart, now lives in our heart, wants to reach out past who you are. Literally, every day. And don't miss the opportunities to touch people. Then answer, okay, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things that He Himself doeth. Listen to this. Now you can either accept the Word or reject it. But I'm going to tell you, this is the Word. What's it say there? For the Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things that He doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Give me another one. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quickens whom He will. Now, how are you going to be saved? How are you going to get salvation? Who's going to give it to you? Come on. No man cometh unto the Father except by me, through me, in me. And as you have Jesus living in your heart, as you have Him speaking in your situations, glory be to God, He's going to quicken even the dead things around you and give them life. Will you believe that? Will you believe that the same thing that the Father has, the Son has? And that He will raise up those dead things, hallelujah, and get rid of them and give you words of life, give you a life worth living. You should be happy, content, and full of life right now. And you should have no regrets. Not whether you have more or have less, but that you have Him, and in Him all things consist, they have their being. They actually bring, actually, it's eternal life in and of itself. Okay, next one. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto who? Unto the Son. Hallelujah. Let's go again. And that all men should honor the Son, even as they what?
Honor the Father.
He that honoreth the Son, what they do? They honor the Father, which has sent Him. And you know what? As you continue to live your life, and they honor you, they're honoring Him. As we believe that, come on, everybody. This is, you may have heard this before, but you need to hear it again. Because I don't know if you considered this. We are His sons now. I know Jesus came, became the example and the firstborn son. But now we're to be as Jesus was on the earth. How do we do that? As we respond to His Word, to the Father in His Word, and then we begin to live our life. And guess what? He's not condemning us because we're not there yet. We're becoming sons. We're becoming more like Him. How? As we apply His Word, His life, His direction over the situation that has got us in a trap. And He's not condemning us because we're in a trap. Don't you condemn people either. Instead, give Him a word of life. He loves us. He's forgiven us. I'm telling you, He's forgiven them. He's forgiven me of things that I have yet to be forgiven for. That's the way it is. So we walk in this forgiveness. Next one. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath what?
Everlasting life.
And shall not come into what? What? But what? What's that saying? Huh? See, could it say, and I'll put it this way, could it say that there's death in you that's being dealt with? And that life is being given to you as you respond?
Hallelujah.
Now, listen to this. What kind of life? Because this is where we're going to go from here. This all build up to this and the time I've got just a few minutes. Hallelujah. It's eternal life. This life that you have is not just living now and breathing now and still subject unto death. It's thank God for this, living in the flesh and living in you know, where we are. I can feel, touch, and all that other stuff, and we can have stuff. But this life goes beyond that. This life has more value than that. This life is not subject unto death. Neither can it be subject unto death. This life is eternal. This life is everlasting. And as we begin to really... Are you getting it? Because I'm going to deal with this a couple of weeks from now, Lord willing. This is where I want to encourage you. Listen. It's already been given. It's already finished. I mean, I can't stumble on this. I can't stumble and fall on this. It's not up to me whether eternal life exists or not. It does. And it's in Him. Hallelujah. It is the Father's. The very essence. If you don't see the Father, how in the world can you see the Son? And if you don't see the Son, you can't see the Father. They're inseparable. They cannot be separated. In their very definition, they can't be separated. But listen to this. That's the blessing He wants for us. Eternal life. I want you to know, and I know this may be crazy, but I want to put it in a way in which you get hungrier to bring in every corruptible part into an incorruptible. Do you know what that is? Very simply. And I got 2 minutes. Hallelujah. I'd like to say that everybody here has matured to the place where they will never lie again. And I will say that at this point, no one here is there. Now, I'm not talking about flagrantly lying or anything like that. I'm talking about living in a world that demands that you lie. Oh, yeah. You see, I worked the inner. I worked in the workplace since I've been 16 years old. Professionally and not professionally. So what do? We just, every now and then, we slip. Can you say that? Oh, it's quiet? No, I just want to be honest. It's not to bring us down. It's to bring an incorruptible part of you. When it's settled and you've made the decision and you refuse to lie there, it's incorruptible. It's undefiable. And in that part, you're incorruptible. And in that part, you've made a decision and now taken on the courage to speak that which is right, knowing the results may be horrific. Because I'm not talking about just any old thing. I'm talking about we live in a world full of corruption. And so he puts us right in there. He blesses us in the midst of it. He gives us favor in the midst of it. But then there will come a time when he'll want to bring incorruption in your life. And you're the benchmark. I'm telling you, it's in the kids. It's all over. It's in husbands and wives. It's in relationships. I mean, I'm talking about very, 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 very complex. But how complex it is how complex his incorruptibility is continually being added to that which is eternal. I'm expecting, as Job, that this flesh, the worms may eat, that I shall see him in my flesh. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so, are you glad? Does this help us? Because we've got this stuff so complicated. When he's never intended for that to happen, it's not only the elite that's going to enter in. It's whosoever will enter in. It's all those that believe will enter in. Hallelujah. And we'll enter in whatever state of being that we are. But I got to tell you this, glory to God, that I want you to know that you are advancing in the kingdom of God, and that you are worth being heard, dear, worth being out here, that you're worth being right where you are to take and say, Lord, give me the courage to stand. And you know what will happen? You will stand, sometimes in fear and trembling. But do you know what will happen in the end? No matter what happens, right then in the immediate, is a change has just been placed. There is a living witness or testimony. Come on, my God, I'm preaching the word. Now I'm going to Revelation 12. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. I'm talking about this kind. Hallelujah. Of people. Glory to God. Which we are. Where we're standing, we're alive, we're living, and we're moving, and we're having our being. Young and old and of every age and of every generation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're standing for righteousness. We're living up to it. And now, hallelujah, we are living not in a complete state, believe me, don't misunderstand me, but we are living in a state of incorruption already, and we are living in a state of eternal life. I have no doubt that I have eternal life. But not in and of myself, not by my own doing, but because of my response, I'm taking my intelligence in. I'm taking my suke, man, my will and my emotion, you know, by the anointings that God has given through song and through music and through words and through breath and through so many things. All these things are happening. Hallelujah. And so I'm living in a wonderful world, beloved. It doesn't mean that I don't grieve sometimes. It doesn't mean that we aren't touched by our emotions. But I will tell you this, that it's not the end. It's not hopeless. We have a God that is eternal, and He has given us. He's making us His sons, and the more we respond, the greater the responsibility of the Son. And so, oh Lord Jesus, I gotta quit. But my heart is, church, I'm talking to you. All the giftings that God has here, fill it up. I think we haven't seen nothing. As we start loving and working together and running and helping one another where we can, and believe it or not, I have to go to my grandkids to help me. Because the older ones get too busy. I can understand that. But I'd still like to know. And so, come on, kick in. Everyone in this house, I appreciate you. I love you.